Today's year in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph. Beginning with the Mishnah, about a third of the way down, we're learning today Lila Nishmas Rose Goldstein. Her yard site actually was yesterday. We're learning Lila Nishmas Rose Goldstein. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from all learning. We begin, as I said, at the Mishnah, Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, about a third of the way down. The Mishnah tells us, this is a din that we already had previously, here's where the source of that Mishnah was, Eras Es Amona. If a Kohen did Erisin with an Amona, now the Kohen's allowed to, absolutely no problem, but then that Kohen, Mazel Tov, becomes the Kohen Gadol, the Nisman Elio's Kohen Gadol. He then is assigned, he's appointed to become the Kohen Gadol. So he's now no longer allowed to marry an Amona, but he already had the first stage of Erisin with this Amona, so we learned previously, and here's the source, the Mishnah says, Yichnos, he's allowed to continue this marriage. It is not a problem for him to continue with the marriage of his first stage wife, to go to the second stage of marriage, have Nisuin, and to consummate the marriage. And Maisa Shoya, the Mishnah tells us, Maisa be Yeshua ben Gamla. Yeshua ben Gamla is a person who's well known to us. He is mentioned in a number of other places as being a great tzaddik. However, this is important to know, that according to the understanding that this is that same Yeshua ben Gamla, he still wasn't the most worthy candidate to become the Kohen Gadol. There were other people that were even more worthy than him, as great as he was. Now, that's according to the opinion that this was the well-known Yeshua ben Gamla. There is another opinion over here that's brought down by the Mefarshim that says that, in fact, this is not the same Yeshua ben Gamla, and in fact, others say that this is not the same Melech over here, Yanai HaMelech, that they're referring to over there as well, that this is a totally different situation, and that this Yeshua ben Gamla certainly wasn't worthy. In any event, whoever this Yeshua ben Gamla was, well, Maisa Yeshua ben Gamla, Shekidish is Martur Bas Baisus. He became the first stage of marriage. He had Kiddushin, he had Erisin with a very, very wealthy woman whose name was Martur Bas Baisus. And she paid off the king, this Yanai HaMelech, according to the opinion that this was that story of Yanai HaMelech. Others say, no, this was a different king, Umino HaMelech Leos Kohen Gadol. And because she paid a huge amount of money to the king, he appointed this Yeshua ben Gamla to be the Kohen Gadol. And Uchinotza, and the rabbis allowed that marriage to continue to go through, even though it was only the first stage of marriage, and now he's a Kohen Gadol, they allowed nevertheless the Nisuin and the Chuppah, second stage of marriage, to go through, and allowed him to consummate the marriage and to stay married. So here's a Maisa Shoya to prove the first point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues with the second thing. The Mishnah says, the similar but not identical case, whereas a Shomeris Yavim, a woman that's waiting to undergo Yibam with a Kohen, Lifnei Kohen Yedjot, he's a regular Kohen. And then this Kohen, who is the Yavam, is Nisman Elio's Kohen Gadol. He is appointed now to be the Kohen Gadol. So this sounds analogous to the first case, where we said, yes, you continue to have the same case of marriage, but over here, and we'll see it's based upon Psukim, the Mishnah tells us, Avu Bisha also a Maimer, even if he had done Maimer first. So that really makes it like an Arusa. That makes it equivalent to an Arusa, but it's only Midrabanan, and in this situation, Hareze Lo Yichdos, the Mishnah tells us that he's not allowed to continue the marriage, he has to go give her a get, because he gave her the Maimer, and he has to give her Chalitza as well. I will see that there's a little bit of a Chiddush, and the Gemara will explain this. So we start off with the Gemara, Tana Rabban. The Braisa says as follows, Minayin Shem Ire says, So Amonov in Isman Aliyah Skoyin Godosh Yichnos. How do we know our Mishnah? The first statement of Mishnah. The Braisa says exactly the first statement of Mishnah, that if a regular Kohen had Erisin with a woman, and they're going to get married, again, they always separated the Erisin and Kedushin in those days, and they have the date set for 3 months, and now, meanwhile, he's appointed to be the Kohen Gadol, that he's allowed to continue to have the second stage of marriage. This is based upon the Pasuk, which we had previously, Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, next week's parasha, parasha's Emor. Now, that pasuk had the extra word isha. It could have just said yikach, because we're talking obviously about it to be his wife. So the extra word isha comes to be marbe, as we had said previously, to allow him to continue and go through the second stage of marriage. So our question is, then how come in the second part of the Mishnah we seem to have a similar situation? Why don't we apply the word Isha over there? Yihachi Shomeris Yavim Nami. If the Kohen, who is the Yavim, then becomes appointed to become the Kohen Gadol, so even if it did Maimer, we said in that situation it can't be Yichnos, why not say over here? The word Isha comes to be Marba, the Yavim as well. Shomer says, because Isha, it says specifically his wife, Lo Yavama, as opposed to Yavama. So that's how we have the first stage case of the Mishnah saying Yichnos, and the second case of the Mishnah saying Lo Yichnos. Then we give a Maisa Shoya, Maisa Yeshuva Chule, to support the first case's ruling. So the Gemara says, note from the words over here, it says Minohu. He was appointed by the king, Minohu in. However, Nisman Alo, it uses a Lashon of Minohu. He was appointed, and not Nismana, that he was appropriate for it. As Rashi says, Nismana lo ktani, the heve mashma de roi holakach. If it had used the lashon of Nismana, it would have been a lashon that he was worthy to be appointed in such a role. And here he was not. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, you can see over here there's a kabal. There's something funny going on. Ketir kochazina hacha. I see over here that something funny is going on. Rashi says, ketir is a kesher. Kesher shal rishayim. A kabal of rishayim. She bribed the king. She gave him a lot of money. And that's why he was appointed the king. The Omer Ravasi is Ravasi tells us, Tarkaba is treyukav. It's a combination word for meaning a lot, three kavs, a half a saw of dinre, of coins, of golden coins. Ailule Marta Bas Baisus, Liane Malko, that Marta Bas Baisus, this very rich Almana, she was an Almana, gave to Yana Yamelech. Again, whole big question as to whether this is the famous Yanai Malka or a different Yanai Malka, and whether this Yeshua and Gabla, who was otherwise praised in the Gemara, albeit, even according to that opinion, he still wasn't the number one candidate to be the Kohen Gadol, albeit he was a good Kohen. Others say, no, this is a totally different Yeshua and Gabla, and he wasn't a good person at all, necessarily. In any event, she gave a tremendous amount of money to Yanai HaMelech, Atamokile Yeshua and Gabla, B'chahane Rabrevei, until he appointed Yeshua and Gabla to be the Kohen Gadol. Now we go to the next Mishnah. This Mishnah tells us a related type of a din. A Kohen Gadol, Shemes Echav. You have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is a Kohen. Their father Yaakov was an Erlich Kohen. And Reuven dies, and his wife falls Yibam. She's now an Almana who falls Yibam. They had no children, so she falls Yibam to Shimon. Only one problem is, Shimon, the brother, is the Kohen Gadol. So Kohen Gadol, Shemes Echav. If Reuven, the brother of the Kohen Gadol, dies and his wife falls Yibam to Shimon, the Kohen Gadol, she's an Almana and can't fall Yibam to a Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah tells us, Choleitz v'lom Yabim. He has to give a Chalitza and he doesn't do Yibam. So the Gemara says, Koposik v'tani, the Gemara tells us, Lo shnom ino erisin v'lo shnom ino anisun. The Gemara says outright that absolutely, that under neither circumstances, whether Reuven was fully married, a case of Nisuin to Rachel, or even if it was only Erisin to Rachel, nevertheless, we don't allow this Yibam to occur. So the Gemara says, Bishlama min ha-Nisuin, we understand that if Reuven had a full-fledged marriage with Rachel, well, we don't allow Shimon to go and do Yibam with her because he's a Kohen Gadol, and he's not allowed to have Yibam with an Almana, because this would be an Aseh and a Los Aseh. As Rashi points out, this is the Aseh of Almana lo yikach, from the pasuk Amanog Rushova Chalazon Esel Lo Yikach, so that's the low sase. And then Rashi continues. There's also Bisula Me'ama Yikach Isha. So there it was an assay of Bisula Yikach Lo Beula. So therefore, this is an assay and a low sase that he would be over if he had Yibam with Rachel. So we understand why in that situation they assay Docha Lo Sase Vyase. So the assay of doing Yibam can't be Docha both this Lo Sase and assay. However, Elabin Erisin, if it's from the Erisin, so then it's no assay here. She is a Besula. So Besula Me'amo Yikach Isha, he fulfills. So it's not Docha Lo Sase. So why don't we say that the assay of Yibam should be Docha Lo Sase? Yovo Assay V'yitches Lo Sase. So it says, Taki, you're right. If that was the only time that they would do this, that would be fine. But they're going to continue. Once he does Yibam to her, they're going to want to continue being married. So Gezeira B'yarishon ought to be a Shniyah. Like we learned early in the Masechta, we make a Gezeira here and say, since technically the first time the Aseh would be Docha Lo Sase, but what about the next time they had relations? What about the next time? And therefore that would be a problem. You no longer have the Aseh of Yibam. You fulfilled the Mitzvah of Yibam. Now you just have the Lo Sase. So therefore, the rabbis made a Gezeira, don't do the first Yibam, just do chalitza instead. And the chiddush over here is that you have to do chalitza. You might have thought that there's not even a mitzvah of chalitza in this situation. Therefore, the Mishnah had to tell us, go and do chalitza. Next Mishnah, a little short Mishnah is today. Kohen Hedjot, lo yisa islandess. A Kohen Hedjot is not allowed to go and marry an islandess. Why not? The Gemara is going to give us a reason that says that this is considered a zona. There is one opinion. We'll see six opinions in the Gemara as to how we define a zona. A zona is a very pejorative term in the vernacular usage, but it's a pure halachic term that shouldn't necessarily imply anything pejorative. It's just a halachic state. A woman, Nebuch, who can't have children, there is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says that this woman has the halachic status of being a zona. And therefore, because if the bia cannot lead to procreation, cannot lead to children, so he holds that that, by definition, makes her into any act of relations, makes it into an act of zona. Now, that's not the opinion of the Tanakhama, that's the opinion of Yehuda. I just brought that forward now. So, in any event, according to the Tanakhama, a Kohen Hedjot would not be allowed to marry an islandess unless he already had children. Elam Ken Yesh Lo Ishu Banim. If he has a wife who could have children, or he actually has children, so then he'd be allowed to marry the islandess. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Even if this Kohen has prior children, he has a wife that could have children. Nevertheless, Lo Yisrael Eilus, he's not allowed to marry an Eilus, because here Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion she is Zono Hamur B'Torah, because by definition, an Eilus is the Zono Hamur B'Torah, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, if you can't have children, so then you are not allowed to go and marry such a woman. Now this is only a din. The second part of this Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda's statement, is only a din by a Kohen, because there's no problem for a regular Yisrael to marry a halachic Zona. So the din over here is being taught to us for a Kohen, for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Technically, the first part of the Mishnah, as the Gemara will explain, that if you haven't had children, you haven't been Mekayim the mitzvah period of Rivia, that's why you can't marry an Eilus unless you had another wife, or unless you have children. So that applies even to Yisrael as well. Now, the Oruch Lener asks a very interesting question. So then in this situation, there actually is an opinion based upon the Rishami that he shouldn't be allowed to marry a postmenopausal woman either, based upon this idea, according to Rav Yehuda, that if you can't have children, so then if the bia that you have is not capable of having children, so then the woman is his owner. So there is an opinion the Aruch Lener brings down from the Yerushalmi that he wouldn't be allowed to marry a woman who's beyond the age of having children. However, he also brings down from that Yerushalmi an opinion that disagrees with that, that says, no, as long as she once had the potential to have children, so even though she can't have them right now, it doesn't make her into his owner. Finally, we bring down a third opinion in the Mishnah, the Chacham Omrim. The Chacham's opinion is Ein Zona. The definition, halakhic definition of Zona, is only a woman, Ela Gioris and Meshuchereres. These two women, a woman who was a Goita, and then she became a Jewish lady, so Mustama, she had relations with a guy while she was a Goita. And Meshuchereres was this Shivcho Kinanis, that Mustama had relations with a guy as well. So both of these women had relations with the guy, so therefore they're Psula Lakuna. Likewise, Shenivala Bilas Nus, a woman who had relations, as Rashi points out, with a woman that was forbidden to him. So if you have Nivala Lipasula, so then that also fulfills the definition of his owner, that you wouldn't be allowed to go and marry a Kohen. And Rashi says, this includes anybody, Kigon Yisraelis Hanivelis Lipasula. This would include any Jewish woman who had relations with somebody that would make her into a Psula. So that is the definition of his owner. Kohen can't marry them. Okay, we'll explore this a lot more in the Gemara. Let's start the Gemara right now. The Reish Galusa asked the Rav Huna, my time, or what's the reason that the Tanakhama doesn't allow a Kohen to go and marry an islander? So the Tanakhama's reason was Mishum period of Rivia. He said, if you don't have another wife or you don't already have children, then you're not allowed to, because you're abstaining from the midst of period of Rivia by marrying an islander. So he asked, a period of Rivia, Kohanim Huda Mifkadeh, the Yisrael Lo Mifkadeh. What? It's only Kohanim. He started off saying a Kohen Hedjot. Why wouldn't this be a Yisrael as well? According to you, that is based upon period of Rivia, are only the Kohanim Mechuyev in having children, but Yisraelim are not Mechuyev in having children? Of course they are. So therefore, why did the Mishnah specifically tell us this then, as I alluded to, only by a Kohen Hedjot? It should have said Yisrael or a Kohen. Lo Yisrael is Elohim Kein Yesh Lo Yisho Banim. So Rav Huna answers the Reish Galusa, and he says, yeah, yeah, Taki, you're 100% right. That is the din, according to the Tanakhama. But since we were talking Rav Yehuda's din, that it's specifically a Kohen because of Zona, and Eilus is a Zona, so therefore, Amalei, Mishum de Koboy, Lemis, they say, for Rav Yehuda's din, Rav Yehuda Omer, Afa Pish Yesh Lo Isha, and we turn to Samachalav and Beis, the Yesh Lo Banim. So only in this situation, Lo Yisa Eilus. Even then, the Kohen is not allowed to marry a islandess, even if he has another wife, if he has children, because here he says the reason is she's Zona Amor B'Torah. Da Zona Kohanim Hu D'Mifkadeh B'Yisrael L'Mifkadeh. So that specifically is only for Kohanim. That's why the Tanakhama also said Mishum Hokik Toni Kohen. But technically, the Tanakhama's reasoning would apply as well to a Yisrael. Now the Gemara says, what's the rationale behind Rav Yehuda saying that the islandess is a halachic Zona Min HaTorah? Amar Rav Huna, my time with Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna further added on, and he said, what's the reasoning of Rav Yehuda? So he says, based upon this pasuk that we have from Hosea, where it says, Dechsev, Ochlu v'yos yisbu, you'll eat, but you're not going to be satisfied. Hizdu, and you're going to commit znus. Rashi says the word zona means to go astray, which means a lashon of znus, v'lo yifrotsu, and yet you're not going to procreate. Yifrotsu means you're not going to have children, so they're going to have relations, but it will be incapable of having children. So here we see that the ideal type of relations is one that could lead to children. If you have relations and it couldn't lead potentially, at least at some point in life, going to Oruch Lener, at some point in life that it could have led to children, that's why you'd be allowed to have relations with a pregnant wife. You can't have more children right now, or a woman who's postmenopausal, or a woman who, for whatever the reason, is required to take birth control halachically because of some danger, etc. So even the Eruch Lener, bringing that from the Shushami that I mentioned before, would allow you to still have relations with her and marry her, even if you're a Kohen, because Kobia Shein Bapirza Enoela Bilas Nus, it's talking about if it never was able to have a potential for procreation, so then Rav Yehuda, based upon this pasuk from Moshe, says that is the definition of a zona. Now, where it says Tanya, we learn another brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kohen Lo Yisra Sektana. The brisa tells us that Rabbi Eliezer holds that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Ketana. So the obvious question is, why not? And we're going to spend a little time discussing this. Somali Rav Chisla Rabba, Rav Chisla tells Rabba, listen, Puk Ayin Ba, go and look into this, investigate this din, because you're going to be asked about it tomorrow, Dulurta, in the evening, tomorrow. By luck, Rav Huna Minach. Rav Huna is going to ask you, what is the rationale behind this? So Rav Chisla tells Rabba, go prepare for the shit. So, no, Rabba is a wonderful, wonderful Talmud and a Talmud Chacham. So Nafak, he goes out, Ayimba, and he looks into it, and he comes back with the following suggestion as to why Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, says the coin's not allowed to marry Tana. And he says that this is based upon Rabbi Eliezer's Sobar. Rabbi Eliezer holds like two opinions, like Rav Meir, the Sava Law, Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like the Shita of Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And you combine those two Shitas, you'll see why Rabbi Eliezer holds that a coin's not allowed to marry Iktana. Number one, he holds Sava Law, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is famous throughout Shas for being the Chayish Lemiyuta. He's always concerned for the minority possibility, the unusual possibility. So Rabbi Meir holds that you have to be concerned that a Iktana will actually be an islandess. And therefore, in this situation, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the next thing, the Sovalok Rabbi Yehuda, the Omer Island is Zona Havya. So therefore, if you combine the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that says that an island is a Zona, and therefore Kohen can't marry her, and you combine that with the Shita of Rameya, they have to be Choshesh, that maybe a Ketana, 1%, 0.1%, will become an island is. So therefore, that's why Rabbi suggested, Rabbi Eliezer holds that a Kohen, Lo Yisus Ketana. It's a combination of these two Shitas, of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Gemara doesn't like this. Gemara says he doesn't hold like either of those two. Number one, he says, the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, mi savala. How, Rabbi, can you say that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Meir? I'll show you from the following brisa that he beferish doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir. Latanya says in the brisa, katan or ktana lo holds of lobi abmin, divri Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that a katan or ktana are not allowed to do chalitza and they're not allowed to do yiva. So the Tamidim said to Rabbi Meir, amalul Rabbi Meir, great, Yofi Amar Toshen Holtzim. We understand why they can't do chalitza. Neither the katan nor the ketana can do chalitza, because the pasuk says ish ksiv parsha umakshin and ish al ish. They have to be adults. So therefore, we understand why the katan cannot do chalitza, why the ketana cannot do chalitza. However, elamai taima ein yabim. But why can't they do yibam? After all, their yibam is a physical act of relations, and that should be kona. So as long as the boy is above the age of 9, as long as the girl is above the age of 3, yibam should be physically, halachically capable of being done. So what does Rav Meir respond to them? The Yom Lehem, so Rav Meir responds back to them, and he tells them, Katan shema yimotze saris, ketana shema timotze islandis, v'nimtzu pogim b'yerva. You know what? This katan is going to grow up and not be capable of having children. So therefore, he's in fact a and therefore, that's why he's not allowed to have relations as a 9-year-old boy with this woman to do yibam, because maybe he'll be a saris, and then there won't be a mitzvah of yibam, and in retrospect, it will be that he's pogea be'erva, eishesach shalom b'vaka mitzvah. Likewise, the ketana, maybe never she's going to grow up and be an islandess, and therefore, it will be again, eishesach shalom b'vaka mitzvah. Rav Meir, choshesh l'miyuta, again, that's his shita. And who comes along and disagrees with that? V'tanya, we have another brisa that says, "Ketana misya bemes ve'enochol." That says, "Divi Rabbi Eliezer." Here it says, "Beferish." The Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with the Rabbi Meir. So obviously, Rabbi Eliezer allows a ketana to do yibam. He's not concerned that Shema Timotze Island is. So clearly, Rabbi, you are wrong in saying that Rabbi Eliezer holds like the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So that's point number one. He slugs him up. The Gemara slugs up Rabbi and says, "There's no way that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Meir. And he doesn't even hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Och Rabbi Yehuda mi sovala. And how can you say that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda? But Tanya, we have another brisa. This brisa is going to list six reasons or six explanations of what a zona is according to the different Tanoic opinions. So the first opinion is zona means zona kishma. As Rashi says, loshun toa. Zona means to go off the derech. Zona achre el kim achirim. So loshun toa, you're straying off the derech. That Nebuch, she's straying away from her husband. In other words, she's having relations, liacherim. the Rabbi Eliezer ain zona ella eishasich. So this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer says the definition of a zona, divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's what it says in the Braisa. This is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that it's only through adultery that a woman becomes a zona. Rachmana litzlan, if a woman commits adultery, that's the definition of a zona. But not an islandess. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So clearly you see that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So we've proven Rabbi wrong. He doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir, and he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. But now we continue with the other five explanations of the Braisa. Once we brought it down, we continue with their explanations. We only needed the first one to go schlug up Rabbi's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. Now we have the second opinion, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says the definition of a zona is a woman, zu mufkeres. Zona means that the woman is unfortunately promiscuous. As Rashi says in Dibur Masu Mufkeres, v'apilu pnuya me'acher shehivkira asma l'chol. So this is a woman who has relations with anybody. What we would, in the vernacular sense, say a zona is a woman who's a prostitute, a woman who's very, very promiscuous. Anybody that wants to have relations with her, she'll have relations with them. Kruya zona. That is the definition of zona. But if a woman knew she's in love with a man and they have premarital relations and then it doesn't work out, they don't get married. Lo havi zona hapnuya. That woman is not a zona. Just having relations once or a couple of times with somebody, that's not mufkeres. So that's not a zona according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva would be a woman who never, in the vernacular sense, is a zona. So that's who a zona is, but not a woman who, you know, made a mistake and had premarital relations. Then we have Rav Masa ben Chorosh. What does he say? Rav Masa ben Chorosh Omer, afilu holach balu liashkosa. Her husband, Nebuch, did kinui and stira with his wife, and the wife closeted herself away with somebody. And he's bringing her up to the Beis HaMikdash to go drink the Mei Hamorim, to drink the Mei Sota. And on the way, they have somewhat of a reconciliation. He has relations with his wife, which is Aser, Ubal Abaderech. So even this, quote, minor lav that they did an infraction on, I saw a zona. That makes her into a zona. So Masi Mecherish is very strict. He says, any prohibited relationship makes her into a zona. Even such a minor, so to say, prohibited relationship is having relations with her husband. Because right now, they're drinking. She's on the way to drink the Mei Sota, so she's not allowed to have relations with her husband. So even that, if she has relations from such a person, and then, let's say she drinks the Mei Sota, or she gets divorced, whatever, before she drinks the Mei Sota, she would be psula to marry a Kohen because she is a zona. That's of Masi Mecherish. Rav Yehuda Omer, here we have the opinion that we brought down already. Rav Yehuda Omer, zona zu islandess. So the reasons that we did before, he says that the bia cannot be a bia that could theoretically procreate, at least under some situations, with this woman, even if not right now. So that would be the definition of an islandess, that she can never procreate. So that makes her into a zona. Then we have two more opinions. We have the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim Omrim, ein zona ela giyores, umshuchreres, vishinivala, b'ilas dus. Ah, that's the opinion we have in the Mishnah. The Chachamim's opinion is that if she had relations with a guy, when she was a gaita, or when she was a shivcho kinanis, or if she was nivala, l'pasula, if she had relations with somebody that would pasul her from marrying a kohen. So all of these are definitions that make her into a zona, and that's why she can't marry a kohen. And finally, the last opinion. Now, the gist that we have is Rabbi Eliezer, but it's not Rabbi Eliezer. We already had Rabbi Eliezer. This should be Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Rabbi Elazar tells us, and then of course the Shas changes this to Rabbi Elazar, obviously, Ponui Habala Pinuya Shalol Shem Ishus. Whenever an unmarried man has relations with an unmarried woman, could even be a married man, Rashi points out, but in any event, when you have relations with a Pinuya, so that Asar Zona. Even one-time relations with a penuya makes you into a zona. So these are the six opinions. But the bottom line is, from the first opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, we clearly see that he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and he doesn't hold, we already proved previously, that he doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir, and therefore Rabbi's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer's din, that a Kohen is not a marry Ktana, is wrong. So the Gemara says, no, why can't the Kohen go and marry a Ktana according to Rabbi Eliezer? El Amar Rav Abba Bar Abba, he says the following is the reason that a Kohen is not allowed to go marry a Ktana. El Amar Rav Abba Bar Abba, Hocha B'Kohen Gadol Askina. We weren't talking, Rabbi Eliezer wasn't talking about a regular Kohen, he's talking about a Kohen Gadol. And Le'emas Koni La, when does she become his wife? Only when she reaches the age of Gadlus, which means when she's in Nara. So only when she hits 12 years old does she become a full-fledged wife. Until then, she's not his full-fledged wife as a Ketana. And therefore, only Lechi Gadla is she his wife. So right now, when she becomes a Gadola, she's already Bu'ulahi, and therefore the Kohen Gadla is not allowed to marry a Ketana. Gemara says this can't be right. Omer Rava, Rava says, Mechali Lein. That's a very strong expression to say, you are destroying the heart. You are doing something, your statement over here is something totally wrong, Ravada Baraba. And he says, let's say your father married off. The father has the right to marry off his daughter as a ketana mid-araisa. So how can you tell me that only when she becomes a 12-year-old girl does she become his wife? When the father marries off this 6-year-old girl, so at that moment in time, she is a full-fledged wife of the Kohen. So even the Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry a full-fledged ketana mid-araisa. And at that moment in time, she becomes his full-fledged wife. Not that when she's 12, she's already a baula, and then she becomes his wife. And even if you want to say, even if it's only a kedushim derabbanan, that she didn't get married on a deraisa level, so then why would only Rabbi Eliezer be the one to say that a kohen gadol is not allowed to go and marry a ketana? Because now this relations makes her into a ba'ula, and she only becomes married fully when she's 12 years old. So why would this only be Rabbi Eliezer? Ha, Rabbi Eliezer, he, below Rabbanan. The Rabbanan would say that's perfectly fine. No, if this was the rationale, so then it wouldn't only be Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that a Kohen Gadol can't marry a Ketana because she's not fully married at that point, and therefore she becomes a ba'ula without being fully married. And only at 12 years old does she become fully married, but she's already a ba'ula. This wouldn't be just Rabbi Eliezer. This would be the Rabbanan as well. So therefore, Rava rejects Rav Adda bar Abba's reasoning, and he says, Elo Amar Rava. This is the reasoning why Rabbi Eliezer says that a Kohen, not a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen is not allowed to marry Ketana. Elo Amar Rava, Leolam Kohen Hedya. We're talking about a regular Kohen, not a Kohen Gadol. And what are we concerned about? What is Rabbi Eliezer concerned about? V'chayshin Hashemah tispata olav. Since she's a ketana, we're concerned that she'll easily be seduced by somebody. Somebody's going to say, hey, young lady, would you like some candy? And she's a 6-year-old girl. She doesn't have full das. And therefore, she could easily be seduced by somebody. Shemor says that should be a problem by everybody. Yachi Yisrael Nami. Why are we only saying this about a Kohen? You should say your regular Yisrael is not allowed to have his wife go and be Mizana. So the Gemara says, no. Let's say Rachmon Luslan, this happened, but she's a 6-year-old girl. She doesn't have das, and therefore she's technically still allowed to stay married to her husband because she's considered an onus. She's considered as if she was violated because she doesn't have das yet at this point. But onus be Yisrael, Mishushari, and therefore nothing technically would happen. She would be able to still stay married to her husband. So we're not as concerned with Pitui Ketana of Yisrael. But by the Kohen, there's a technical problem here that she's now a zona if she commits adultery. And Rachman al-Slan, if the Kohen's wife is raped, if the Kohen's wife is assaulted, he's still never can also not stay married to her. So that's why we have the Bedavka say, Rabbi Eliezer says that a Kohen can't marry Ketana because of this concern of Pitui. That's Rava's reasoning. Alternatively, Rapapa Amar, another reason. He says, we are talking, in fact, the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Eliezer's Shita was that a Kohen Gadol can't marry Ketana. And Bahaitanahu de Tanya, and it's based upon the following rationale that says from the following brisa. Besula, the pasuk tells us that a Kohen Gadol has to marry Besula. Kim Besulami Amabi Kachi Shah. Besula, that would imply Yochel Ketana, that would even allow a Ketana to go and marry the Kohen Gadol. But it says Tavulomar, Isha, it has to be a woman. Kim Besulami Amabi Kach Isha. Tavulomar, Isha teaches us specifically it must be an adult woman. If it's an adult woman, Yisha, Yochel Bulgaris, then maybe the Kohen Gadol can marry a Bulgaris. Remember, previously we brought down, there's an opinion that says the Kohen Gadol can marry a Bulgaris because she doesn't have her full Besulin. So if it says Yisha, that would imply her full Besulin don't have to be there, as long as there's some Besulin. She didn't have relations with a man. Asher lo yoda ish. So that should be fine. So if that was the case, just Isha, I would have said Bulgaris is good. Tamalova Besula, that she still has to have her full Besulin. Okay, it said, what's the example that she has a full Besulin, but she's a mature woman? That's only a Nara. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol can only marry a Nara. He can't marry a Ketana, and he can't marry a Bulgaris. Yotze Miklal Katnus, L'chal Bagus L'Bosa. She's not a Ketana, but she's not yet a Bulgaris. She's a Nara. In that period of time, that's who the Kohen Gadol can marry. So Rav Papa says, that's the reasoning behind Rabbi Eliezer. We have another reason. We had Rabba, we had Rav Papa, and now we have Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Hai Tanahu to Tanya. It's the following explanation of Rabbi Eliezer goes according to this Tana in this Brisa. The pasuk says, Besula, Ein Besula Ela Nara. Besula implies a Nara. That's based upon the Chenu Omer. V'ha Nara, Tovas Mare Ma'od, and that implies Besula. And this pasuk describes Rivka, when she meets Eliezer, he says that the Nara, the Torah tells us that the Nara was Tovas Merim Ma'ot and a Besula. And it uses the Lashon Nara and Besula, equating the two. And that's why Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that Rav Eliezer Shita is that when a Kohen can't marry Ketana, it must marry B'davka a Nara. Now we have Rabbi Elazar Omer, We had one of the six shitas we had for a zona was a relaza shita, that any unmarried woman who has relations, by definition, she is becoming a zona. We don't pass him over here like Rabbi Lazar. This has to be specifically taught to us because we had brought down previously that there was a thought that says Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov did paskin like Rabbi Elazar, and since we always paskin like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, you might have thought that we do in fact paskin like Rabbi Elazar, so therefore Rav Amram wants to specifically tell us, no, get that out of your mind, ein halacha ki Rabbi Elazar. Another Mishnah. Mishnah begins, lo yibot aladim period of Rivya, elam king yesh labonim. Here we introduce an interesting discussion about period of Rivya, the great mitzvah of having children. So the Mishnah tells us a person shouldn't stop trying to perform the mitzvah of Piriya Verivya unless he already has children, which we'll define momentarily. So according to this Tana, you're not obligated to still try and do the mitzvah of Piriya Verivya if you already have children. Certainly, it's a mitzvah to continue to do so, and it's a very, very special and important thing to continue to do so. However, the Mishnah is telling us that the technical obligation to engage in attempting to have children, to engage in period of river with a woman who can have children, that is an obligation unless you already have children. And how do we define having children? So Beshami Omer Mishnei Zachar has to be two children. We learned this out from Moshe Rabbeinu. We had Gershon and Eliezer. And that's where Beshami's opinion comes from. And Beisil Omrim, no, we learned that from Adam Chava. Shnemar Zachar Unekeva Biram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a man and a woman. And therefore, we have to try to emulate that and have a boy, a son, and a girl, a daughter. More we'll explore this much more in detail. More now starts off and says, the implication from our mission is that lo yibotel odim period rivya elam kain yesh lobanim. So ho yesh lobanim, Limor says, the implication is if he already does have children, mi period of rivya botel, so then technically he doesn't have to try to have more children, however, mi isha lobotel, but he still should stay married. Rachmana Litzlan, it's not good for a person not to be with a wife. His wife passes away, he should get married a second time. It's not good to be without a wife. And the Gemara says this goes in accord, Messiah Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel. This goes in accord with Rav Nachman said the name of Shmuel, which was the Omar. Even if a person has 12 children, so he still shouldn't be without a wife. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levado. Famous pasuk from Bereishis, which tells us that a man shouldn't be alone. Adam was told, it's not good for you to be alone. I create Chava for you. Lo tov heyos adam levado. A person shouldn't be single. If at all possible, a person should try to find their mate. It's a big problem sometimes for people. And as I always mention, the Marsha says that Asakta Befiri of Arabia, the famous statement that will be asked, we're 120, when we go up to Shemayim for the final exam, they're going to ask us, did you engage in period of Arabia? So Rav Moshe says, it's impossible that it means, did you in fact have children, because that's not in your control. And the Marsha explains, it means, did you try to make shiduchim? Did you try to make sure that lo tov heyos adam levado? Did you do everything in your power to make sure that nobody couldn't find their appropriate spouse? Again, unfortunately, tragically, some people cannot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be ozer all of us in helping to perform this mashah that asakta b'piri v'ribi. We should all try to make shiduchim the best extent possible. Now, v'ikha d'yamre. Others explain this a little bit differently. They say the implication of the Mishnah is that you don't have to continue to do period rivya ha yesh lo banim if you have children, so then you don't have to continue doing the mitzvah period rivya. It says the opposite of Shmuel, batul mi period rivya u batul nami mi isha. It says that not only do you not have to try to continue doing the mitzvah period rivya, if nevach, your wife, were to pass away, you divorce your wife, so then the gezuntai, you can stay without a wife once you've already had children. Gemara rejects this obviously in a second. But first it says that name of Tebet Yufta, the Rav Nachman Meshwar. This second version seems to go against the first version of Rav Nachman Meshwar that said that you must stay married even if you don't plan on having more children. So Gemara says, no, it's not a refutation at all of that. Lo, ain lo bonim, no se isha bas bonim. What it means to tell us from the Mishnah is if you don't have children, you must try to marry a woman that could have children with you. However, yesh lo banim, if you do have children, it means that you still should be married. If your wife were to pass away, you should try to get married again, but you'd be allowed to marry a woman, no se'isha, the law of bas banim. You can marry a woman who is postmenopausal. You can marry a woman that is an islandess. No problem over here since you already fulfilled the mitzvah period of rivya. So now you just have to make sure, lo tov yosu adam levado. It's not good to be alone. So therefore, we reject totally this ikud the amre that a person could be batul nami me'isha. Nadigmar continues and says, Nafkamina limkor sefer Torah bishul bonim. The Nafkamina over here is, does your second wife have to be a wife that can bear children or not bear children? So that's the Nafkamina. Are you obligated to go and sell a sefer Torah for getting married a second time. Normally, you're not allowed to sell the Sefer Torah, except if you need to sell the Sefer Torah for certain reasons, one of them being to have children. So here, if you're already Mekayim, the mitzvah, a period of Arivia, and you have a choice that you could marry this woman who cannot have children, or this woman that could have children, but the woman who could have children requires you to sell the Sefer Torah in order for her to marry you, so then in that situation, you would be allowed to go and marry the first woman and not sell the Sefer Torah in that situation. Then we discuss how many children is considered that you, quote, fulfilled the mitzvah period rib. Again, this is a minimal standard and not certainly the recommended or maximal standard. There is no maximal standard. So Beishamai Yomim Shnei Zecharim, where did they learn this from? Maitamai the Beishamai. Beishamai said that you should have two sons. That fulfills the mitzvah. Where they get this from? Yovino Moshe Rabbeinu. Tilsiv, B'nei Moshe, Gershom Eliezer. Moshe had two sons, Gershom Eliezer. And then we know he separated from Tzipporah. So therefore, he felt that he fulfilled the mitzvah Puravot. And therefore, he could separate from Tzipporah for the reasons that we'll explain in the Gemara. Why would it separate from Tzipporah, even though he fulfilled the mitzvah Puravot? Why not? Lotovi Yos Adam Levado would apply in that situation. So Moshe's unique. He's the exception to the rule. Beisel disagrees. Beisel says, Yalfino mi b'yosu shalom. HaKosh Bo created Adam and Chava. So therefore, that is the standard. Now, why didn't Beishamai use Adam and Chava as the paradigm? Why did they use Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara says, ain't done an Efshar, me Efshar. In that situation, if Hashem had created Adam and another man, so then there'd be no world, there'd be no procreation. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol had no choice but to create Adam and Chava. So that's an Efshar situation. So we can't learn out an Efshar situation from an Efshar situation. So therefore, that's not a good source. No, Gemara says, fine. Beis Hillel, nami laufu mi Moshe. That's taka good reason not to learn it out from Adam Chaba. So why didn't Beis Hillel say, like Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons, so that's the minimum standard? So Gemara says, ami loch, Beis Hillel would say, Moshe mi daiteyu di abba. Moshe had a unique situation that he wasn't allowed to stay anymore with Tzipor. He made the following logical deduction himself, the Tanya. It says, shlosh dvarim asa Moshe mi daito. There are three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on its own, the schema daito l'dasa makom. These three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did, we're only going to do the first one today. We'll leave the other two for tomorrow to discuss. But three things Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own, and the schema daito l'dasa makom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yashe Koyach, 100% you're correct. The three things are perish min ha'isha, v'shibra aluchos, v'osav yom echad. He said that he's supposed to separate from Tzipori, his wife, even though nobody else is supposed to separate from their wife, to be a Navi. So Hashem said, Yashe Koyach, as we'll see. Number two was Beshibra Luchos, he broke the first Luchos, and Hashem said Yosher Koyach. And number three, he added on an additional day to the Shloshes Me'Hagbalah. Originally, it was going to be 2 days of Hagbalah, 2 days of separating before Shavuos, before Matan Torah, and V'Hosav Yom Echad, and Hashem said Yosher Koyach. So again, we're only going to do the first one today now. Pirish ben Aisha, where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was correct in separating from his wife Tzipora? My Darash, what drasha did he make for himself? As he said as follows, Omar, Umay Yisrael, Shalo Dibro Imam Shlino El Elfi Shah, Klai Yisrael is going to get the Torah on Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at that point in time, V'kabal Hemzman, he said, you should separate from yourselves, from your wives, Omar Torah, Al Tikshu Elisha, don't go near your wives, you can't be in a Tomei state in order to get the Torah. When you're speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't be in a Tomei state. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a Kavah Chomer. He says, that's Klai Yisrael. One time they were told, you're going to speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't be in a Tomei state. Ani. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I, Shemiyuchad L'libim Chol Shav V'Shah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to me every minute, possibly. I have no idea when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to speak to me. Boom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to speak to me. So I have to be in a Torah state at all times. V'lo Kavah L'Zman, he didn't set a set time for me, so therefore I have to learn from Matan Torah, Alachas Kama V'Kama, how I have to separate from my wife at all times. So once he was in Mekayim the Mitzvah, Puravu, we have it. Gershon and Eliezer, so then he separated from his wife, and that's the reason why Beis Shammai says that this is the paradigm for the two sons, whereas Beis Hillel says, no, this was a unique situation, and therefore we can't use this as the paradigm, because Moshe Rabbeinu had to separate himself, because he could speak to the Shechina at any moment in time, and had to be totally tahar and pure, and therefore he is the exception to the rule. Everybody else cannot use that rule. So that's the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'skima daito l'das ha'makom, Hashem said, yes, you're right, Shenemar, lech amor lehem, after Matan Torah, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell all Klai Yisrael, shuv alochem l'yol lechem, you go, tell Klai Yisrael, all you can go back to your wives now. However, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'atah po amod ibodi, but you stay with me, you don't go back to your wife, you have to stay here with me, and therefore, you see, he said, Yashar Koyach, Moshe Rabbeinu, you are correct, V'skima daito l'das ha'makom. That's the first of the three things. The Mitzvah Shem will pick up over here tomorrow with the second and third of the three things. Very interesting Gemara. This we conclude today's share.